but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Pac-12 and Mountain West Conference have been locked up in mediation. It feels like forever. What in the heck is going on with the Pac-12 and the Mountain West? Innovative Law Group does a great job in Eugene. Alan Thayer, attorney at Innovative Law Group, is joining us now. He's going to help us understand mediation and read the tea leaves a little bit, and he's going to make it entertaining and exciting for us as well. Alan Thayer joining us. Thank you for making time for us.
Wow, I don't know, an entertaining and exciting lawyer, that's a high bar.
I know. The length of the Pac-12 Mountain West mediation is raising eyebrows. Is it raising eyebrows in your world?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, a lot of things involving the Pac-12 has taken a lot longer than any of us expected, as you have well reported. But yes, I did the math before you all called, and it's been 44 days since the mediation officially began on May 19th. That's when they held their first face-to-face. This is long by I think almost any standard for a mediation. I am surprised, and I've been wondering what's going on, and I guess I've figured if there was something to be reported, we'd hear about it from you first.
Yeah, Alan, give us an idea of the reason you get to 44, 45 days. I'm sure there's a number of possible reasons. There's multiple lawsuits involving multiple parties. You have the possibility of discovery maybe driving some delay. Maybe there's some strategy in taking a slow walk here. Help us understand each of those three elements as it pertains to maybe what is causing a little bit of the delay.
Well, there is what I call the herding cats problem. So the primary parties, the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, they actually have members. Then each of their members have their own set of stakeholders. And getting people to agree to something could take a while. And the person who you quoted in your article the other day about how there could just be a couple of stumbling points that they're hung up on, normally it wouldn't take 44 days when there's just a few stumbling points, but this is unique. This network of members and stakeholders does make it very different. The thing that amazes me even more than the length of time, though, is nothing has been leaked, and I'm sure you've been trying to get information out of your people, but to go 44 days without leaking anything, I got to tell you, the men and women in Washington, D.C. could take a lesson from these parties.
I think part of it is that there's been a lot of focus on expansion and media rights. And so it becomes, I think, easier for the parties to focus on those things and not, you know, whether or not the Mountain West, how much is the Pac-12 going to owe the Mountain West? Or is the antitrust suit going to hold up? What will the exit fees be like? Discovery, the exchange of documents, depositions. This takes place between the parties. And is it possible here that the discovery on this case is just vast?
Well, it's what I would be interested to know is if the discovery has led to the possibility of additional claims or defenses. And so they're in the middle of the mediation. Some documents get turned over, and then all of a sudden that causes one side or the other side or both sides to rethink their claims or their defenses. And, of course, impact their settlement and mediation strategy. That's a real possibility. Another possibility as well is through the herding cats problem or through this discovery issue, the Pac-12, for example, and listen, I'm reading tea leaves. I don't know anything. But I do know that it is a common strategy in litigation when there's multiple parties involved on the other side is try to create conflicts to pit one side against the other. Now, who would be the most natural object of any such strategy would be UNLV. UNLV is expecting a big payday with money coming from the Pac-12. Wouldn't be too hard to create some conflicts of interest between the Mountain West and UNLV, and then that could slow down the mediation as well.
One possible damage claim could result from the fees that the Mountain West charged the Pac-12 to schedule those football games last season. You know, we all know payday games, $500,000, $750,000 a game. I believe the Pac-12 was charged about $2 million per game to get those games. Is this enough to threaten the existence of the Mountain West in your mind? Because help us understand how damages work. If the antitrust claim is successful and the Pac-12 can demonstrate that the Mountain West was gouging them, are we talking about some damages there?
Well, you definitely are. And you get to the $2 million a game, by the way. If you read the scheduling agreement, it says $1.5 million. But if you read the rest of the agreement, there's additional fees imposed on Pac-12 payable to the Mountain West. And once you add that all up, you get to $2 million a game. There's also, though, the money that WSU and Oregon State should have earned from the Mountain West schools by playing away games at, so Oregon State, for example, at Air Force Academy. But that is not mentioned in the agreement. And if there were no paydays or for travel for OSU and WSU, then that could be added to the damage claim. I did some rough back of the napkin figures, but once in antitrust cases, you get to triple your damages. That is how big of a deterrent Congress wanted to prevent anti-competitive acts. And so once you triple the damages for both money not paid for away games and the amount of money they have to pay for home games, you're talking $46.5 million in damages. Is that enough to cripple the Mountain West? No, but it certainly is enough to create some serious problems between the Mountain West and UNLV and the Mountain West and Air Force Academy because of the bonus payments promised to those two schools.
We are talking to Alan Thayer, Innovative Law Group, Eugene, Oregon. If mediation does not result in a settlement, what comes next?
So the lawsuit moves forward. And the next thing that will be on the court's docket will be oral argument on the Mountain West motion to dismiss the Pac-12's claims. The Pac-12's claims are mostly antitrust claims. This issue has been briefed by both parties. I and other commentators that I have seen who have read the briefs believe that the Pac-12 has a very strong case, very solid chance of winning on the motion to dismiss. That is, the Mountain West motion to dismiss will be denied, and then rulings will be entered on these antitrust claims. And once there is a ruling in a case on questions of law, and that's what a motion to dismiss is the application of antitrust laws to this, in this particular instance. Once a ruling has been made on questions of law, that becomes the law of the case. That means that portion of the case is over. Not the question of damages or whether there was a violation of the law, but whether the law applies in this instance or not, that's now the law of the case. And that would give, if the Pac-12 wins, that would give the Pac-12 a huge leg up. And my guess is a settlement would happen right after that. But if not, then discovery could continue. There could be all kinds of motions in advance of trial. There could be a motion for summary judgment. And John, that's a point where you might be interested, and other sports journalists might be interested, because this is where each side would start putting up their evidence. If there is any smoking gun documents out there, for example, then those will be offered with the summary judgment documents, and we'll be able to see a lot more what was going on behind the scenes when the scheduling agreement was negotiated.
A Pac-12 source, multiple sources have told me that they're in possession of what they think is the smoking gun on this deal, this antitrust case. They say they have communication from Gloria Navarez, the Mountain West commissioner, that indicates that she knew that there was a potential antitrust issue here. Is that enough in a mediation setting to move the Mountain West off their point, or does that cause them to dig in and try to, you know, or what are we talking about?
Oh, it could go either way. I mean, if I were on the Mountain West side, I would say, well, that doesn't have as much significance as you think it does.
Yeah.
Now, whether she believes that or not, I don't know, but that certainly be their argument. But sometimes in a mediation like this, particularly where a party has members that it has to satisfy, it's say, yeah, we understand your argument, but I can't get, and then you name one university or a couple universities, I can't get them to go along with it. And you start arguing not necessarily about the legal arguments, but you start negotiating over practical issues that stand in the way of a settlement.
Alan Thayer, you're the best. I appreciate you giving some of your expertise and wisdom. And as a sports fan, this must feel awfully interesting to you to see the world of sports veer into the areas of your expertise.
Yeah, it is. But I think it's a sad day when lawyers get involved in sports, quite frankly.
Slows the games down, doesn't it? Sure does. Alan Thayer, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you for all your reporting. We appreciate you.
You bet. There he goes. Innovative Law Group in Eugene. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide.